Welcome, welcome one and all to Pop Culture Man Children, PCMC Minisode.
PCMC Minisode!
Well, you know, I'm a hoofer.
That was a mouthful.
But I said it all right.
You did.
You're Emilio Sparks.
You're Mike Bongiorno.
Nice to see you.
It's good to see you again, pal.
It's a minisode, which means we're going to talk about a topic.
Well, explain to the newbies what a mini-episode from PCMC is.
Minisodes are, we don't do the news, we don't do our normal shtick. It's just, you know, about a half hour, and we talk about one topic that sort of, you know, it's a question, or it's, last time we talked about what sequels ruin the originals. Today's topic is what media, movies, books, TV makes us cry.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I said media, it could be an ad. You know what gets me a little bit in teary in the eyes? That extra gum commercial with that cover of Only Fools Rush In. Have you seen this?
Yes, I have.
Yo, that 2-minute gum commercial is one of the best love stories of our time. It's this whole couple's like life, and at every important juncture of their life,
They're chewing gum,
and he is an artist, so he draws a little doodle for her on the gum wrapper. So you see them from like high school sweethearts to growing up and having a fight. You know, they're just having a whole life together. You see them just living their lives, and at every moment in their lives, he draws a little doodle for her. And then on the gum wrapper, right? And all the time you're hearing this beautiful melodic cover of Wise Men Say, which is maybe one of the best pop songs ever. Every cover of it is good. Do you agree?
It's one of the prettiest, yes.
You can't do a bad cover of that song.
No, you can't.
So
even UB40 did a good version.
I actually like theirs a lot. At the end, she goes to like this art studio that's his studio. I guess she's like led there some way, and she's looking at the wall, and all the little doodles from their lives together she sees are framed, and she's looking at each one, and then in the commercial you see a flashback back to that moment, and she's reliving their beautiful life together, and then she sees one where one doodle's on its knee proposing to the other doodle, and then she turns around and there he is on his knee with a ring asking her to be his bride. And
you're getting glassy eyed right now.
I get a little wetness in the eyes a little bit. See, here's the funny thing about this minisode topic, because when we discussed doing this, I was like, we should do this because I cried everything. And then you said,
I don't cry at all.
You don't cry. You're heartless.
I really don't. I mean, I get the feels for certain things.
So I guess that's going to be what you talk about, the feels. Although it's kind of now my lifelong mission to make you cry at something.
I'm emotionally cold and stunted inside, so it's not going to happen.
In our last main episode, we talked about This Is Us. This Is Us has never made you cry?
No. It's given me the feels.
What about when Jack finally bites the dust, though?
I don't know if I'll cry, but I'll probably have the feels.
You've never in your life cried at something?
I mean, when I was a child, yeah.
I mean like a film or a movie or a book. A film or a movie. I mean a film or a book or a TV show.
It's been an extremely long time since water came out of my tear ducts.
What's a movie that gives you the feels?
Well, I can remember back to when I actually did cry.
Mm-hmm.
When I was like maybe 10 or 11. The Brave Little Toaster.
Oh, that's a good one.
That got me.
I forget. What gets you in that?
But it's just the fact that they felt lost without, quote unquote, the master, and
mm-hmm.
you know, when he finds them again and they have this insane journey to get to him.
That movie was Toy Story before Toy Story.
Really good. And when they get to him, he appreciates how good and how like, oh my God, this toaster still works. This is amazing. This light still works. Oh my God, I needed this. Oh my God, I have a heated blanket.
Yeah.
Oh man, this is great for the apartment because the apartment's cold. And they
what
were
capitalist propaganda that cartoon is.
Right? But they were so happy and appreciative.
And 10-year-old you cried.
I got a little weepy. Got a little weepy.
Now, why don't you cry? Is it because you just don't get moved that way? Or did you cry at Brave Little Toaster and some uncle was like, don't cry, crying's for girls, and then you just eat your emotions?
No. Yeah, I eat my emotions.
Like, is there a reason why you're not moved?
No, actually, no. There's no real reason.
But you're such a huge music fan. You've produced music. There's no song that you could put on.
That I cry?
Well, look, when I say cry, I mean
like
the feels. I mean, like a little something.
No, I get feels when I listen to music. Like, one of my favorite songs that gives me feels is Love, Love, Love by as tall as lions. It's one of my favorite songs. I don't get misty-eyed. I don't get weepy, but I get the feels. Like, I'll think back to a previous relationship or somebody.
It'll bring you back.
But I don't start. I like, tears will not run down my face.
I've cried at movie posters.
How is that possible?
Can you guess the movie poster that made me cry? It's a classic film, and it's actually the tagline on the poster that made me cry. Because I loved the movie so much, when I saw the poster and I read the tagline, it got me right in the heart. This is something you should get.
I would know this movie.
Yeah, you would know it.
I've seen this movie?
Yeah, I think you've seen it.
Have we discussed this movie in grave detail?
Yeah. He's thinking hard about it.
Well, I know the tagline if you tell me it.
His life was a one in a million shot.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
Wow, at the fucking poster?
The poster for Rocky.
How is that possible?
Because to me, that's a very emotional movie. I cry at the end of Rocky 1 and Rocky 2.
Okay, I'm going to tell you something straight out, and this has never been revealed on PCMC before.
Yeah.
I would watch Rocky religiously.
Yeah.
When our buddy and pal, Joe Sodelicious.
Rest in paradise.
And sometimes we would watch 5.
Yeah.
The only time I'd ever see him get emotional is the scene in the flashback scene when Rocky's in the dilapidated Mickey's gym, and he starts going, slip the jab, slip the jab. And he trails off and thinks of Mickey, and he's talking about nature versus nurture and how nature is smarter than people think.
Yeah.
And I saw Joe, big scoonge.
Yeah.
6'4", 300 pounds of muscle.
Yeah.
Weep like a small child.
He had some daddy issues. So things like that would get him.
Oh my God, I got him. And I would look at him, and he would say, it's just a bond, man.
Yeah,
and he would cry.
He had no problem crying. We cried together in the movie theater for Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. We went together. Mm-hmm. We were with a group of people, but it was me and him, and we sat next to each other, and me and him both cried at that movie in the theater.
What was the scene?
Oh, just the whole thing. You've seen it?
Yeah.
Just the whole heartbreak of... You know,
I've experienced that heartbreak.
Yeah,
but I didn't cry about it.
Okay, all right.
I'm
not judging you
cold?
At all. No. I think some people are just quicker to cry. But if you feel the feels, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, I always
just
feel
when
it.
I look at that poster, I think of, you know, we've talked about Rocky so many times before on the show. Yeah. You know, the idea of this guy who's in his 30s, he's a loser basically. I mean, just think about that tagline, his life is a one in a million shot.
Yeah.
Like, you're born to be a loser basically. And I don't know, it gets me. And it's, you know, it's that famous poster. It's black and white and it's him in the sweatsuit with his arms up and he's at the top of the staircase. And it's just like, it gets me.
I'll share with you where I really had the feels.
Yeah.
And this might sound a little crazy, but there's two times. The first time that I was really in the feels was WrestleMania 32.
Mm-hmm.
It was my first WrestleMania ever.
That you attended?
That I attended.
Mm-hmm.
And I was with my buddy Kaz.
What year is this, by the way?
And Wale. It was 2015.
I thought this was like when you were a child.
No.
This is two years ago.
I never went to a WrestleMania before.
Right.
I very rarely went to wrestling.
To any kind of
because we just couldn't afford it growing up. So now that I'm in a position where I'm cool with the company and wrestlers and whatever, I get certain looks. Wale, being the super famous rapper, who was a friend of mine, wanted to do something nice for me and Kaz.
Yeah.
So he flew us to San Francisco, put us up in this really posh hotel, and we got to, all of us together, go to WrestleMania.
Uh-huh.
He's downplaying the seats. Mm. I didn't know where we were sitting.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know what? If we're up in the nosebleeds or whatever, it's fine. We're here together as a group. We're going to have a good time. We're going to watch some wrestling. We're going to cheer. We're going to live and die with these characters for this night and then, you know, fly home the next day. Now we're starting to get closer and closer and closer to the
As we're
walking, we're getting closer.
You keep thinking this is where we're going to stop, but you keep walking towards the ring.
At one point, I thought we got to stop.
Right.
No, we get third row.
Wow.
Third row, WrestleMania, hard cam side. Now, for those that don't know what hard cam is, it's the camera that films everything that we see on television.
So it doesn't move.
It's the camera they all pander to. You want to sit behind hard cam all the time because you get the best pictures and they probably wrestle for the camera.
Right, that's what they're playing to.
It's the best. So I'm there, and at one point he looks at me and he sees now I'm I'm in this moment. I'm looking around, man. I'm really looking around. And he sees it. And I'm taking in everything. I'm taking in the way the sunlight is hitting my face. We were at where the San Francisco 49ers play. Beautiful mm-hmm. stadium. And like the way it just smells. Mm-hmm. And this is before the event even starts. There's already 80,000 people in this thing.
Yeah.
I'm looking around and I got goosebumps.
Mm-hmm.
That's when like my heart was starting to race. And then I'm thinking, this is a
And the
moment.
Little boy in you, the child in you.
Yes.
Is like, we made it.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah.
And that to me was like, wow. And he looks at me and he goes, wow, you're really like taken by this whole thing.
Yeah.
And I give him a hug. This is the first time we're really hanging out.
Yeah.
Like we talked via text for hours.
Yeah.
But the first time to really, you know, be face to face with him, where he's not the rapper and the celebrity, but he's just the man.
Yeah, yeah.
I hugged him for like a good 2 minutes. I told him, I was like, you don't understand. This is always something I wanted to do. I always wanted to be at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And the fact that I'm here right now sharing this with you and where we're sitting, and it hasn't even started yet.
I could see the emotion in your eyes right now.
Yeah, but it won't lead to tears, which is strange. But I thought it was, but it didn't. And I was really into it. Then there's a second time. I'm at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn. I think it's the first or the second time WWE hosted their SummerSlam weekend kickoff at Barclays Center. I'm sitting with two of my friends, ridiculously close again, and the theme music to Shinsuke Nakamura mm-hmm. hits. Now, let me preface something. Before Joe passed away, he did not understand the gimmick of Shinsuke Nakamura, which was the character. And he didn't understand it. He didn't like it. Joe was very old school, liked old school wrestling, didn't really watch the product. And it's like,
can
you
just interrupt you for 1 second?
Go ahead.
Where can our fans find Joe online? He's got YouTube stuff, right?
Joe's got YouTube stuff for his wrestling. You can type in Joe Sodelicious on YouTube. If you want, he has a Twitter. You can read it. It's, his stuff is there. His
it's still there.
Still alive.
It's he was Joe. On The Daily Show.
He was at The Daily Show with Jon Stewart 3 times. Well, twice with Jon Stewart, once on Trevor Noah. And yeah, you can look at it, Joe Sodelicious.
Look him up. He's a really funny guy.
And if you want, you can listen to all the old episodes of the Emilio Sparks Experience that has Mikey, Joe, and Carlo on him.
Sorry, go on.
So
he wasn't into it. He didn't get it.
Maybe like oh, man, yeah, it has to be like 2 or 3 months before he passes. And he FaceTimes me. And he asks me, like, what's the gimmick? I don't get it. He joked about it for a little while. And then, you know, we hung up. And then, you know, he passes away. And Shinsuke Nakamura's theme song hits.
Uh-huh.
And the crowd goes ballistic. I get this odd chill down my spine.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, ooh, and I flinch. And my boys are looking at me. And they go, what's mm-hmm. the matter? And I go, you get to call me crazy, but my friend didn't get this gimmick and why everybody likes him so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, and right now my heart's racing as this theme song's going and I'm thinking of my boy.
Yeah.
And I just look up and I just like wink to the sky as this guy comes out and everybody is just into
it. It's funny that what moves you is something that he wasn't into.
Yeah, right?
Because if he were there, he'd be like, I don't like it.
That's why, because I kept on thinking it and I was hysterically laughing the entire time. From like the popping circumstance of the first violin note playing to the time that this guy walked into the ring and hit his pose. It was just, it got me to think of him. And that put me in the feels. And I was like, I get to experience wrestling in a context that he is no longer around to enjoy.
And that gave you the hard feels.
And that gave me the hard feels. Again, no liquid down the face.
That's okay.
But the hard feels.
That's okay.
All right.
That's amazing. That's right. Amazing. Yeah.
So I'm not emotionally stunted. I just don't cry.
You protest too much. I understand.
Okay.
I know that you've got emotions.
Okay.
God, it's hard to follow that. Because a lot of it for me is not moments that connect to my real life in that way. A lot of it is, you know, I'm such a nerd. I'm so moved by art. I'm so moved by stuff. I mean, since you talked about wrestling, I should talk about my equivalent love, which is Star Wars. At the end of the last Star Wars movie, The Force Awakens, which you still haven't seen, you know, the whole movie's about we got to find Luke Skywalker. Where's Luke Skywalker? He's been missing for 30 years. And then at the end, the very last scene, they get the map to where Luke is. And then the new protagonist, Rey, goes to this island. And you hear the swelling music. There's a mystique there. And then you see a robed old man standing on a cliff, and the music swells, and he turns around, and it's Luke Skywalker. Luke Skywalker on the movie screen for the first time in 30 years. One of the best characters in movies ever. And there he is, and he's just got this look in his eye, and he doesn't say anything. That's it. Even seeing it in the theater, there was this palpable feeling of everybody like, oh my God, that's like, this is...
But he's the son, and everything revolves around Luke Skywalker.
Right, this is Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
So is that...
That's epic, man. No, that's important. You know what's another thing that kind of gets me?
What?
Not to the point where I'm crying, but do you remember when they were making the transition from Matt Smith to Peter Capaldi?
Oh, yes. That makes me cry. Absolutely.
How good is
that?
Wait,
I used to know it by heart. Hold on. He says to Clara, he's a coming. And she goes, who's coming? And he says, the doctor. And she goes, but you're the doctor. And he says, yes, and I always will be. But I've got to change now. And that's what life is about. We keep moving and we keep changing as long as you remember everyone you used to be. But I will not forget one minute of this, not one line. I'll never forget when the doctor was me. And then he turns into Peter Capaldi. Oh, I'm getting chills just thinking about it. That was great.
Even the way that was shot.
Yeah.
Like,
he takes off his bow tie and it falls to the floor.
Oh, come on. You know what's another going from Doctor Who that really puts me into feels? Water on Mars.
Yeah, which what part of it?
When he changes the course of history.
And he kind of like has that moment of freaking out.
And he says that he's more than a doctor. He's a god.
The Time Lord Victorious.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like he's sort of like, it's this moment where he's almost kind of like scary and unhinged, but it's also emotional because he's just so sick of losing people and people dying and following the rules. Because he follows these rules where he can change things unless they alter history in a dramatic way. So the episode Waters of Mars, which you should definitely check out. It's one of the best Doctor Who episodes. The scenario in many Doctor Who episodes, if you don't know, is he'll show up at a place and they're in danger and he saves everyone. Well, he shows up at a place, they're in danger, but he can't save them because he realizes the place that he is an important moment in human history. And if he were to change it and save everyone there, he might completely alter human history. So he hangs around because he's addicted to it. He's like adrenaline junkie, the 10th Doctor. And he's like helping them, but he keeps saying like, all right, I'll help you a little bit, but then I got to go because these people have to die for history to happen. And he just, it's this thing of like he
becomes emotionally attached
right,
to the people.
Right, right, which is, you know, that's the heart of the Doctor.
And then he saves them.
Yeah.
So then he brings back the lead protagonist in the film to, I guess, London. And they say their goodbyes, and now she knows that her death was supposed to have this profound impact.
Right, because her granddaughter will be an important person inspired by her death.
Yes. And now that she sees that, she's disappointed that she was saved. So she goes into her apartment and kills herself.
And you hear the gunshot.
And you hear the gunshot, and then you see the look of disgust on the 10th Doctor's face.
Yeah.
And that starts this whole thing where he's not ready to die, but he knows
that was one of his last episodes. That's when he's like sort of unhinged. His regeneration also is emotional. I mean, his last words are, "I don't want to go."
That'll always be my doctor.
Yeah,
and I think that's a
me
lot
too.
I think that's a lot of people's.
I think Dr. 10 is second only to Dr. 4. I think really, I think Tom Baker, the 4th Doctor with the scarf, the classic Doctor, and David Tennant. Or basically from the old generation, new generation, the doctor.
Yeah.
Like the one, you know?
So like that always gets me. And it's like, I don't want to go. And I still got more to do and more to see. And I don't want to
leave.
And
he's got that speech where he's crying and he goes, you know, he goes, it feels like dying. Some other man walks away with my memories and my life and I stop being.
Oh, right? That's what gets me in the feels.
Eleanor and Park. It's a YA book that really gets me.
Of course.
By Rainbow Rowell.
Uh-huh.
Rainbow Rowell is my favorite YA author. She actually, her books aren't all YA. She did a couple of adult books. She did an adult novel called Attachments, which is really good. And she did an adult novel called Landline, which is really good. I actually think you'd like that one. It's about this couple where they're kind of fighting. They've been together a long time. and she goes to stay in her childhood home because they're fighting, and she finds she has a landline phone in her teenage bedroom, and she picks it up to call her husband, but when she calls him, it calls him in the past. So it's like, it's not a time travel story, but it kind of is because it's all based on these phone calls, and it's her now talking to her husband when they first met on the phone. The important thing is that her YA novel, Eleanor and Park, about these two misfit kids who are nerds, and they fall in love while on the school bus, and he's reading X-Men comics, and she's reading his comics over his shoulder. And he's like, is she reading these comics? And they fall in love, and, you know, it's a YA book, so spoiler alert, they're kids, so they don't stay together at the end. The ending just devastated me. I just cried so hard. For these fictional characters that I want to stay together, and they're like 16.
I have to read this book.
I have every one of her books in hardback. I have her book Fangirl, 5 different copies of it because it came out in 5 different colors. I'm a Rainbow Rowell head. Last year I was at BookCon, and I went to the Rainbow Rowell panel, and it's me, a 34-year-old man, and a bunch of 14-year-old girls, and we were all cheering, and I was like, yeah, you're my favorite. I love Rainbow Rowell. I very rarely read a book more than once. I read it twice. You know, and the second time I cried as well.
You know what I think is the most adorable song in the world?
What?
It is a song from the Weepies called I Got to Have You.
It makes you feel?
I'll read you some of the lyrics and then you tell me. No amount of coffee, no amount of crying, no amount of whiskey, no amount of wine. No, 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 nothing else will do. I got to have you. I got to have you. How cute is that? Like chorus. How adorable, it's adorable. Is that?
That's adorable.
The road gets cold. There is no spring in the meadow this year. I'm the new chicken clucking open hearts and ears. Dude.
I'm feeling it.
Tell me you would not cry if you listened to that.
I probably would.
See, I think that's what you have to. You have to listen to songs like that that get you
and
old.
That will get me into music?
Yeah.
Make me a
mixtape?
A Cry Jams mixtape. And make sure you do it on a cassette tape.
Okay.
Because I feel like all mixtapes need to be on cassette.
Well, you've seen. I have a whole bunch of cassette tapes down.
Yes, I have seen that. All right, so let's end on this.
That I'm not emotionally cold. That's been established.
That's been established.
Okay.
We'll be talking about feels more next week, because next week is our Star Wars The Last Jedi special. And I have a feeling there's going to be feels. I mean, that's the last movie with Carrie Fisher in it.
Yeah, you're going to have feels.
I'm going to have amazing feels.
I'm just going to try to piece everything together, and I'm most likely going to just Wikipedia while this movie's going on.
You're
going to
be like, Google, who is Luke Skywalker? Question?
All I know him as is the Joker.
He was a great Joker. He was the best Joker.
That's a cartoon, too, that gives me the feels.
On that note, thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back next week with our Star Wars episode. Follow us on Instagram. Subscribe to us on Stitcher and iTunes. You could get at Emilio on Twitter, at Emilio Sparks.
That's it.
I hope we gave you the feels today.
I'm feeling something right now, especially after Eleanor and Park.
I'll leave this to you, sir. You edit this episode. You let us out on a song that's going to give us the feels. I can't.